And now, ladies and gentlemen, it's time for the Ray Shasho Show, brought to you by the Publicity Works Agency. Each week, Ray spotlights in-depth interviews with legendary and up-and-coming authors and music artists. Ray also features the movers and the shakers of the music and publishing industries and suggests important methods for getting the most out of your public relations and marketing needs. Please welcome music journalist, author, and entrepreneur, Ray Shasho.
Hello, everyone. I'm Ray Shasho, broadcasting from BBS Radio, and welcome to the show where we spotlight legendary and up-and-coming music artists and authors. Brought to you by the Publicity Works Agency. Call us today at 941-877-1552 or visit www.publicityworksagency.com. Remember, we shine only when we make you shine. Heart fans don't have to feel so alone anymore. With the recent announcement of an indefinite split between Ann and Nancy Wilson, music lovers will be happy to know that Heart by Heart, which features original founding Heart members Steve Fawcett and Mike DeRosier, have announced that it will be hitting the road with acclaimed vocalist Summer Masick leading the helm this fall. The Heart by Heart tour will bring back all of the favorites from the multi-platinum selling band, including Barracuda, Crazy on You, Alone, and more, by perfectly recreating the songs of Heart. We don't consider ourselves a tribute band. Second generation of Heart, explained Fawson. With Mike and me at the helm and Summer on vocals, we can once again help bring out those musical nuances and ignite the energy within our own band that made Heart one of the most beloved rock groups of all of our time. In order to play the songs the way they were conceived, Fawson and DeRosier have surrounded themselves with musicians who share their philosophy for excellence. Lead vocalist Summer Masick delivers a jaw-dropping performance with her range and stage presence, which is only enhanced by guitarist and vocalist Lizzie Daymont's powerhouse performances. Rounding out the band is Randy Hansen, a guitarist known in Europe and America as the premier Hendrix tribute artist, who also collaborated with Francis Ford Coppola on Apocalypse Now and ultimately helped him win the Academy Award for Best Original Score Written for a Motion Picture. Together, Heart by Heart has become a force to reckon with successful shows across the country and rave reviews whenever they perform. Please welcome Rock and Roll Hall of Famers, original Heart band members, bassist Steve Fawcett and drummer Mike DeRosier to the Ray Shasho Show. Hey, guys.
Hey, Ray.
Hello.
How you guys doing today?
Really good.
You guys got a show tonight, right, at a casino?
Yeah, it's a casino in Tacoma, and
right.
We've played there before, and it's fun.
And I want to tell the audience real quick, because you do have some scheduled shows coming up, and I'm sure this is going to go on and on for a while, because it's a great, great show. Let's see, tonight is at Great American Casino. That's in Tacoma, right?
Yes.
October 19th, you'll be in Shippensburg, Pennsylvania.
Correct.
The 20th at the Colonial Theater. That's in New Hampshire. Then you go from there all the way back to Arizona at David M. Player Center for the Arts in Afford, Arizona. The 18th, you'll be at it's Higley Center for the Performing Arts back in Gilbert, Arizona. This December, the Point Casino, Kingston, Washington. The Point Casino again, Kingston, Washington. That'll be at December 1st and 2nd. And into the new year, you'll be what I got, Ross Raglan Theater, Ross. That's Raglan Theater. That'll be February 3rd in Oregon, I believe. And all the way into May 19th of next year at the historic Everett Theater in Everett, Washington. I'm sure you're going to have a lot more dates. You guys, please come to Florida.
Yeah, I would love
to. Love to.
Great job. When are we going to have time to sleep with all that going on? I don't get it.
Hey, we need more Heart music, you know, especially now that, you know, Ann and Nancy are kind of on their own doing their own thing, which I've been following closely. I mean, you know, both bands are doing wonderful, I guess. But it's a kind of a strange situation that happened, isn't it?
Yeah.
There's no way you could even imagine that anything like that would ever happen. If a writer came up with that plot and presented it to you, you'd say, no way, that could never happen in a million years, but it did.
Yeah, the sisters seem so close, you know, together, and something like this happens. It's you know, you, like you said, you just can't imagine something like that happening, but it did.
Right.
A belated congratulations on finally being inducted in the Hall of Fame. You can't even imagine how happy I was to see the original Heart band together again. And you guys rocked it, man. You guys are awesome. And
thank you.
And I know you said it was surreal, but it was also surreal because I think what Chris Cornell inducted you guys into the Hall of Fame, you know. And
That's another tragedy that you could never even. I mean, if someone would have told me 6 months ago that he was, you know, on the verge of passing away, I would have said, forget it. There's no way, you know.
I was a big Chris Cornell fan. You know, I really liked all his music, and I was kind of heartbroken when that happened as well.
We all were. Yeah.
Yeah, I've told Roger this several times, and I talked with Roger many times. Roger's a great guy. I never thought the Heart musicians got their full credit. And, you know, I love Ann and Nancy, but, you know, Heart wouldn't have been Heart without you guys. You guys put the rock and roll into the band. And it kind of upsets me a little bit that, you know, that music journalist, you know, gave the girls so much credit when you guys, you know, especially you and Steve, talking about Roger and Steve, started the band, you know, and then brought in the girls later on, and they ended up with the name and everything. That kind of ticked me off.
Yeah, isn't that funny how that happened?
Yeah, it is. Yeah. It is. Yeah.
Well, the chemistry and charisma of a band really makes a big difference when it's first starting out. And the fans and critics and music lovers, they tap into that chemistry and charisma. And that's what makes the band what it is. And then after a while, when that chemistry and charisma is messed with and changed and taken out of the mix, then it really changes the whole aspect of what the music sounds like and feels like when you hear it.
Right. Yeah, I agree. I mean, you know, this reminds me of kind of like Genesis and Peter Gabriel, and they called it Peter Gabriel's band. And, you know, if it wasn't for those, you know, proficient musicians backing him up, you know, they wouldn't. And I had a talk with Steve Hackett about this too, you know, and then things changed when Phil Collins took over. But, you know, they're same thing with the Police, you know, they called it Sting's band, and Sting's band would have never happened without those guys behind him. And it's the same thing with Heart, man. You guys, Roger had his own style of playing, and to me, that was the Heart sound. It was his guitar playing.
Well, yeah. I certainly agree with that. I think Roger brought his quirkiness and his the fact that he was such a kind of an unusual technician. I mean, his technique was very different than most guitar players I played with, and because of that, he always came up with really interesting, unusual things. And I agree with Steve that the whole chemistry is what I think people forget a lot of times, and that comes out consciously or unconsciously with the fans, but. You know, there's always the kind of the propaganda, the promotion, and all that stuff that happens with record companies and the way influences in the band, let's say, try to push things in a certain way, try to project the image of the band in a certain way, and you end up having to fight it the whole time.
So I agree. I agree. I mean, you know, I was a big Heart fan. I went to your show in Baltimore when you were playing at the Hollywood Palace, which was a very small club when you guys first came out. And then I saw the original band twice, once at the Capitol Center in D.C., and then in Hollywood, Florida, at the Hollywood Sportatorium. I think Firefall was the opening act. But, you know, and then I saw on YouTube the original band, where you also brought in Howard. And, oh, my God, you guys, you know, that is heart, in my opinion. You know, the girls, to me, were just kind of a bonus. And I had wished things had gone a different way, because I was not a fan of Heart after you guys left the band. It turned into kind of a chick band, chick ballads mm-hmm. and things like that, you know. Did you guys ever think about, you know, doing what you're doing now right after you guys left the band?
Well, I did, but I couldn't convince anybody else to get on board with me.
Because it happens all the time, you know. Crosby, Stills, and Nash breaks off, and, you know, a lot of bands do that. You know, they go off and do other things.
Different things, that's for sure.
Yeah. And I know Roger's doing his things now. We talked about his latest album, and he seems pretty happy. Did you try to get Roger to join this band?
Well, it's kind of complicated. Because, how Roger, like, he's very, very into his own project.
Right.
And he is bound and determined to sing. And what Heart by Heart does is we try to reproduce the songs the way they were written and recorded. So it makes it, and Roger's more, he wants to change everything around all the time.
Right. What's Howard doing lately?
He's been playing with Paul Rodgers a lot. And, Bad Company as well, when they mm-hmm. put the unit back together. What is that thing? He does something in Las Vegas too, doesn't he?
He does the Raiding the Rock Vault. He's the musical director for Raiding the Rock Vault at the Hard Rock Hotel in Las Vegas.
Oh, okay. Well, I just want to say, you know, Michael, you're a tremendous drummer, you know, and I always thought your talents were kind of hidden a little bit, and, you know, you're one of my favorite drummers. I see a lot of the things you do on YouTube, a lot of your solos and things like that. You're incredible. Steve, you're an incredible bass player, and without you guys, there would have been a Heart. Fantastic band. I love you guys a lot.
Well, that's great. That's very nice.
Yeah.
Thank you for all you do.
Yeah, and, you know, when you see Mike with Heart by Heart, I mean, Mike and I, we play our parts as faithfully as we can and try to reignite the energy and the vibe that Heart had back in the day, and people seem to respond to it a lot.
Summer's incredible. Oh, my God, what a voice. She looks a little bit, you know, like Anne. You know, and she reminds me of like a younger Anne, you know, back in when you guys were starting out and everything. And her voice is incredible.
Yeah, we have a lot of fun doing what we're doing.
Now you married Summer, right?
I did. Yeah, we have two teams. We have two teams in our band. We have the Mike and Steve team, which has all this history.
Uh-huh.
And then we have the team of husband and wife team of Summer and Steve. And, you know, and Randy and Lizzie are a team too when they get out front and they do their dueling guitars.
Right. So you're the new Magic Man, right?
Oh.
Well, let's see. Well, kind of.
Yeah, only it worked out better for you.
Yeah, well, I'm like the plate spinner, you know. I get the plates on the sticks, and I keep all the plates spinning at the same time.
Yeah. Now you, I didn't realize you guys and Summer go way back. I mean, you know, you actually started this thing a while back, and she's done a lot of things in her career as well. I saw a video that she did with Jerry Cantrell from Alice in Chains, and I think Howard was on that video as well.
Yeah. We do this thing called Synergia Northwest. It's a benefit for, you know, for a kid's or a young person's symphony orchestra, and we've done that a few times. Mike and I have done it a few times, and then Summer did it by herself with Jerry that one time.
Yeah, she's a fantastic singer, and the guitarist as well. He's got a pretty decent background as well. So you got
Randy Hanson.
Yeah, Randy. You got some great players behind you.
Artist, yeah.
Yeah. Imagine that, a Hendrix tribute artist in the new heart. You know? Mm. Oh, man.
Well, it worked. Randy and Howard were really good friends, and Randy actually lived at Howard's house for about 10 years.
Wow.
And he took care of Howard's house when he was on the road. And, and so, we're, you know, Randy's been our friend since the late 70s.
Mm-hmm.
And he's been involved in seeing us play a lot, and you know he takes the parts that he plays very seriously, and he does a great job playing. He plays both Roger and Howard's parts,
right?
And Lizzie does the same. She plays Roger's and Howard's parts too. And then and Lizzie's a very accomplished guitar player and keyboard player too. So.
Yeah, she was in that band Pretty Enemy and Sway, right? And she also plays bass, I believe.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Yeah, she's better than I am. She plays bass better than I am.
I wouldn't know. I wouldn't think so, but if you say so. But it's a hell of a band. It's a hell of a band. You guys sound great. And have you seen the girls, Annie Nancy's, you know, kind of solo things that they're doing now? Have you witnessed any of that?
Ann had a show here in Seattle at the Mora Theater.
Right.
When she first started going out with her latest project. And Summer and Lizzie and I went to the show.
Mm-hmm.
And after the show, Dean found Summer and Lizzie and I and took us up, and we had a nice little chat with Ann in the dressing room. And you know, we really enjoyed the show, and she has some very good musicians with her, and they don't really try to play the Heart material exactly like the way it was recorded.
Exactly.
And written.
Yeah.
But, you know, they do a few Heart songs, and then I think Ann has wanted to stretch out her the songs that she does for a while, and now she gets to play, you know, a lot of her favorite songs that she loves to sing.
Ann looks good, by the way. She did lose a lot of weight.
Yeah, she looks great, I think she moved to Florida too.
Really, I didn't know that. You know what part?
Yeah. No, I don't know what part. But a few weeks ago, when you guys had the storms, she was outside in the rain saying, "Hey, look, it's raining here. Just like Seattle."
Just like Seattle. Every time I think of Seattle, I think of Frasier, you know? Good show. You know, Heart, they just lost their longtime manager, Carol Peters, which was kind of sad. I think she was with the band for 17 years. I did cover a Heart concert about a year and a half ago or so when they were in Clearwater. They sent me tickets and had the photo pass and everything. And actually, I didn't realize how short Ann and Nancy really were when I was up there close to them up on stage taking pictures, you know. That was kind of surreal.
Well, Carol was always really nice to Summer and I, and she got us into several shows, Heart shows around here in Seattle and Puyallup and White River and stuff when Heart was still together. And she always would come out and say hi, and she was really nice, and it was she was super nice and helpful during the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame induction and everything like that. So we enjoyed her. She was a nice person.
Yeah, their staff seems really nice over there.
I've
kind of worked with them off and on for a while. It's easier to talk to Roger because he's a Facebook buddy, and I know everything about his life as everything goes on, which is pretty funny. He's going to make a blues album next, which I'm really excited about, and we'll get him on the show again once he does the blues album. Is there any chance you guys will record an album?
Yeah. Yeah, there's a chance.
There's always a chance, right?
There's always a chance, yeah.
Well, we're going to fit it in with all those dates we got coming up.
Exactly.
Yeah, no kidding.
What direction would you be? I mean, would you kind of, you know, keep the Heart style in those albums? I mean, Heart fans would go nuts if you did that. It'd be awesome.
Well, the way Mike plays and the way I play with Mike, or the way Mike inspires me to play, it would definitely, you know, have that vibe. So
Mike inspires you to play?
Well, in a certain way.
Be better.
Yeah.
How does he do that?
Well, I think, personally, I've never wanted to be in a band that every song was an up-tempo or an aggressive hard rock kind of a thing. I've always enjoyed the kind of the balance of mellower stuff. Gives me a chance to rest and I enjoy the melodic stuff a lot. And that was one thing that I enjoyed about Heart. That's what we do now, is we mix it up. We like to play some mellow stuff because it's really good. And I think it allows people to kind of rest for a second, kind of just lay back and enjoy it. And then when we do Barracuda and Crazy and all that stuff, you can get back into the energy of it. So I would think we would probably always want to do stuff like that, you know.
Well, I can imagine. Who would be the songwriter in the scenario in the band, do you think?
Well, I would hope that it would be a collaboration between all of us.
Right.
You know, somebody comes up with chords and other people come up with the words and the melody. And then, you know, Mike and I put our touches in there. And
well, I'm pushing you guys to do it. I mean,
okay.
I'm going to schedule another interview once you get that together or you're in the recording studio. Cause that's, you know, Heart fans definitely want to hear that.
Cool.
We love the original band. Yeah, well, definitely.
We do some of the more occasionally. I mean, we've pretty much gone through the whole, every record, and we've learned a lot of it.
Mm-hmm.
And so we can pull out stuff that I don't even know if Ann and Effie have ever done live. I mean, we do stuff that's deep album cuts sometimes, depending upon the kind of place we're playing or the everybody's mood in the band, and so we have these things to pull out. So it's kind of fun to be able to mix up stuff and play things that people might go, oh yeah, I remember that, playing that record, that side, and that song is right next to Mr. All Wind or whatever. And so that's really cool to be able to. And so it almost sounds like we're pulling out originals, this group's new stuff. But it's really. It's just a lot of Heart songs that never got played live. It's great.
So you guys can continue where you left off when you left the band, and when the band changed, you know, completely changed. That would be awesome. Because, you know, I left. I kind of bailed on Heart after Baby Lestrange, which was, I don't know, about 1980 or so. That's when things started changing, I think. And How difficult was it when you guys left the band, and how did that come about? I know Roger was kind of fired. I know he was having issues, drug related issues and things like that. He said he was getting out of control. He even told me that he was glad he was fired, or else he might have been dead. But how did you guys, part, and how did that go?
Well, I don't know. Steve, do you want to send that, or do you want to?
Well, I think that's your department. Right?
Mine? Here's the way there's a lot of stuff with that one. This basically, we did a private audition. That was the last record that Steve and I did with Hart. And in the process of making that, I think Steve, pretty much all of us really, when it gets right down to it, we felt like a lot of the material was just not up to it.
Mm-hmm.
And so there was a lot of angst, as far as I'm concerned, and a lot of weird sort of vibe floating around and it wasn't just coming from us. I think our producer, our manager, the record company, everybody kind of agreed that a lot of the material that we were recording was not up to standard, and so that became a big issue, and it just got worse and worse. So we finished it, and then things sort of fell apart after that.
Right.
It just felt like the direction was really not. It wasn't right for the band. It wasn't lifting us up. It was sort of like a few steps backwards in mm-hmm. a lot of ways. And so you can fill in the rest, Steve, if you want.
Well, I mean, you know, Mike and I, we still get, royalties from the albums that we played on.
Right.
And there's always an accounting for, you know, what albums did what. And Private Audition over the years has, you know, been a very, very slow, you know, not very good performance in the royalty department, because it's just mm-hmm. people, there's nothing on that album that really people respond to very much.
Right, right. Hey, if it was me back then, at that point, I would have had you guys fire the girls, let them go out on their own, and bring Roger back in the band, and then that would have been, everything would have worked out fine, because the girls would have probably gone out anyway and then done their thing with their ballads and that kind of stuff, and you would have kept the rock and roll going.
Yeah. Well, it just felt, and I think Ann and Nancy are great. I have tons of respect for them and their ability,
right.
But that record, it just seemed like that was not our best stuff, and we just and for some reason I still don't know why to this point, why Ann in particular was so hell bent on that material, a lot of it anyway, because mm-hmm. some of it, you know, it works, a small percentage of it I would say, but it just didn't feel, and I guess maybe the more resistance she got, the more driven she was to see that it was going to be the way that she had a vision for, and it just seemed like that's the direction that things were going. And
right. Well, I felt it. I knew, you know, because like I said, I was a huge Hart fan, and it was, you know, the girls were great, you know, and it was cool to have two girls in the band and everything, but I'm all about the music, and I knew without you guys that the band would have never made it. And
on Private Audition, there's a one song that really was kind of a step forward for the band in a lot of ways, was City's Burning.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, it rocked out pretty good, and Heart by Heart will do that song occasionally too, so as far as the, you know, the bass and drums and guitar work and stuff, that was a good direction to
right.
take the band. But that was the only, that's as far as that album got in that direction.
Well, that's why it's so important to come out with an album now. You could have some, you know, really cool guest artists, you know, that would love to probably play on that on your new album. And I'll promote the hell out of it.
Oh, thanks, Ray.
So I'm holding you to it, man. So everything really started with the Army, right? When you guys, it was Steve and Roger, right? That kind of
right.
were in the Army together.
And
then it turned into White Hart, and then Hart, and then Hocus Pocus, and then back to Hart, right? Is that how it went?
Wow, studied your history. That's exactly it. Yeah,
big Hart fan. So so you guys go back.
Yeah. Well, the funny thing is, so the Army, Raj, was it? We all come from kind of North Seattle, and Mike comes from further north in Seattle than us.
Right.
But back in the Army days, our two bands, Mike had a band and we had a band, and our two bands actually played at Battle of the Bands and played a lot of the same places at the same time, the same era, I mean.
And then the rest is history after Dreamboat Annie. Did you guys have any idea Dreamboat Annie was going to be that successful?
Well, you hope, the big saying when we were doing Dreamboat Annie was, he who hesitates is lunch. And Mike Flicker would say almost every day in the studio, he says, well, you better play this good because you're going to be listening to it for the rest of your life. and we all went like, oh yeah, okay, sure. But it ends up being true.
It really is. Yep.
Yeah, that album is a masterpiece. Well, one of many, you know. But Dog and Butterfly is another one that I really, 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 really like. You know, what one song that Nancy does that never gets any kind of, you know, press or anything like that. And I haven't told their management this because I wanted to talk to Nancy about Not a One, which is a beautiful, beautiful song that she sings. One of my favorite songs that she does, and it doesn't seem like anyone wants to talk about it or, you know, bring it up or anything. I mean, I noticed that song, you know, right off the bat from that album.
Well, that's funny because Heart by Heart, we started learning that about 3 months ago.
Really? So you're going to do Not a One on the road?
Well, we haven't finished it up yet, but we all kind of... we played it together a few times, and we haven't progressed it to the part where we put it on stage yet, though.
Right, great, awesome song. You know, I just love that piece. When did you guys first realize that you were officially big rock stars?
Oh man, I bought my dad a car.
There you go.
I was still living at home, we were still paying ourselves a salary. We were just talking about this the other day. We were giving ourselves X amount. I can't remember what it was a week to kind of.
It's $200. It's $200 a week.
Yeah, $200. And so, what happens with record sales is there's a big lag time between the sales happening and then when you get royalty payments. It's like 6 months. And so we kept hearing, yeah, there's going to be some money coming in. We've got these sales happening. And we were all, how much, do you know how much? And our manager would just kind of, he didn't really know, but we had a kind of a notion about it. So I think I came home one night from doing something. We might have been recording or something. And I knew I had some dough coming, so I told my dad I'd buy him a car, and he was asleep in his chair like usual.
Typical dad.
And he said, you're kidding me. And I said, no. And I think he still didn't believe me, but when we got that first royalty check, that was probably the time that I went, man, this is a big step up.
What kind of car was it?
A Lincoln Continental.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
I tried to talk him out of it, but he just, that's what he wanted. Three-way white.
Wow.
White vinyl roof, white leather, and white, three-way white. He just had to have it, so, okay.
How long did he keep the car after that?
Well, he didn't keep it that long, and he kind of felt weird breaking the news to me that he was going to sell it.
Oh.
But I didn't care. I mean, it's just, you can do whatever you want with it.
Yeah.
But everybody in Edmonds, where I grew up, everybody in Edmonds knew about it. Everywhere he went, I don't think he'd go up to strangers and say, hey, my son brought me that car.
Yeah. Sounds like a Seinfeld episode. Yeah. Seinfeld bought his father a car, and he didn't keep it very long.
Yeah. Yeah. So like Mike said, I mean, we were paying ourselves $200 a week. And then we got a call from the management and the accountants, and they said, okay, we're meeting downtown at the office. So everybody shows up, and they hand us like a brand new checkbook. Everybody gets their own brand new checkbook, and here's your bank account number and all this kind of stuff. And then they say, oh, by the way, we deposited, you know, $250 grand in your account today. So there you go. That's when I knew we were big stars.
That's incredible. Yeah. They set up your own account and everything for you, huh?
Yeah.
Was management pretty good to you at that time? I mean, you know, you always hear the horror stories that, you know, they steal money and they don't tell you all, you know, the true finances are going on and all that stuff. But were they pretty good to you back then?
Yeah, they were.
That's good. So many people got ripped off, you know, which is a shame. They lost a lot.
Well, I think our manager understood that would be a really foolish move to mess with the thing that was the engine. You know, that's the thing that's cranking out the money for him, and for him to mess with that. Not only did he manage us, but he promoted rock shows himself. So he knew the business, and he knew where all the kind of the hidden money was in a lot of those deals with the promoters around the country and stuff. So I think he really had a pretty good grip on making sure that no money got missed out coming our way, sort of a thing.
And by the way, his name was Ken Kinnear, too.
Okay. Is Ken still around?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah? What's he doing now?
Well, I got a call from him about 6 months ago, and he was digging through his desk, and the drawer wouldn't close all the way. So he took the drawer out and reached back in there, and there was a video from our Canadian tour that we did with Ted Nugent and a couple other bands.
Mm-hmm.
So he's going to try to make a documentary out of that.
Oh, wow. That'd be awesome. That'd be incredible.
Yeah, because there's a couple of jams with a bunch of the guitar players that were on the trip. And, yeah, it'd be really cool.
That would be cool. Did you guys have fun at Cal Jam, too?
Well, yeah.
No, it was overwhelming. I mean, we played for a lot of big shows, but where you just can't, it just looks more like a texture looking at people. There's no real, I mean, you can only see about the first 20,000 sort of, and then the rest of them. I mean, there were, I don't know, 200 plus thousand people there. Yeah.
It was 300.
Wow.
Well, what they did was they picked us up in a helicopter.
Mm-hmm.
And so what you do is we flew over the Ontario Speedway in a helicopter to, you know, and then they land you backstage. And so you fly over the crowd, basically.
Right, right.
And it's just unbelievable to see that many people that came out to see us play.
You guys had an awesome performance, too, by the way. It was great.
Yeah, and, you know, and Ted Nugent was there, Aerosmith.
Yep. Yep.
You know, Foreigner. It was just, you know, and you're backstage hanging out with all those people. And it was really, really a nice, it was a cool time.
I'm friends with Frank Marino. He was there.
Oh, Mahogany Rush, sure.
Yeah, he didn't like it. He thought the show was too commercial, and he wasn't real happy about it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Huh.
Frank's over in Canada. Yeah. But yeah, that was a great show. I interviewed a lot of guys from Cal Jam 1 too. I talked to, God rest his soul, Keith Emerson about the flying piano, and Greg Lake, and some of the guys from Deep Purple. But yeah, I miss those days. You know, that's when music was music and concerts were concerts, and you really got your money's worth. You know, you could get three bands, four bands for like $7 for a ticket back then.
Yeah, no kidding.
I got a ticket in my office framed. I can't remember where Kinnear, our manager, might have got it for me or some. Can't remember how I ended up with it, but we did a kind of a small tour with it was us, Van Halen, and Boston, and we would take turns being the headliner, being the top bill.
Mm-hmm.
And this one was the ticket that I've got in my little picture was the Cotton Bowl, I think, in Dallas, maybe big outdoor show, and $15.
Isn't that amazing?
$5 a piece.
$5 for each band.
Yeah, back then the shows were cheap because you were promoting the album. It was all about promoting the album, right? That's why they did that, I guess.
Yeah.
And yeah, I don't know what happened in the business. It's just crazy now.
Yeah. Speaking of Greg Lake, I mean, he was a great influence and a hero of mine.
Really?
I loved him in King Crimson and then Emerson, Lake, and Palmer.
Mm-hmm.
I went and saw their concert when we lived up in Vancouver, and his style of playing and his demeanor was really inspired me to in my own playing.
Hell of a nice guy, too, you know? Really nice guy. Yeah.
Seemed like it.
I just interviewed Ian McDonald, too, from King Crimson and Foreigner.
Oh, yeah.
Another nice guy. He's got a new band out called Honey West, and he got the name after the secret agent or whatever from TV from the 60s, Honey West TV show. I guess they like the TV show so much they named the band after her, which is kind of cool. So
yeah,
you guys,
Ian, some amazing stuff with his keyboards and the. Woodwind arrangements and stuff. It's really good.
Great musician. Yeah.
Yeah.
So you guys are pretty good with Ann and Nancy. Do you guys talk much? I know you said you talked backstage at a show.
I've never had a very warm or meaningful relationship with Nancy, but
really?
Ann and I had a good friendship.
Mm-hmm.
And it was nice to see her when I saw her back earlier this year.
I think Roger was telling me that him and Ann also had, you know, a decent relationship. And Nancy just seems like she's kind of laid back. You would think she'd be the one that everybody hangs out with, you know? Is that not the case?
Well, when I first met Nancy, she was just out of college, and Raj was super interested in her.
Right.
And so he, you know, he just, like, attached himself to her. And at that time, you know, it just, she went with Raj, and I went, you know, my own way, so.
Right.
Whatever. And then after Roger, she started hanging out with Mike for a while. And then after that, Mike and I were out to, you know, we're out of the band, so.
Yeah. Well, that was a real soap opera there for a while, wasn't it?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, here's a question that I ask everybody. If you had a Field of Dreams moment or a wish, you know, like the movie, Field of Dreams, to perform, collaborate with anyone from the past or present, who would that be?
You mean anybody besides the Heart people?
Like Steve was saying about Greg Lake, you know, and could be somebody that passed away, or could be, you know, you can name a couple people, too. Who would you like to have performed with or collaborated with?
Well, I my favorite band has always been Zeppelin.
Mm-hmm.
So if I could sit in with those guys on a few songs, that would be it. I mean, but I also for a long time I grew up really liking big band music. I love Buddy Rich.
Mm-hmm.
So I would like to sit in with a big band, a really old school kind of 40s, 50s, really swinging big band. I think that would be, I would put that personally up as high as playing with guys from Zeppelin, because I think that would be just a blast to do. Never going to happen, but for me, that would have.
You know, it's funny. A lot of drummers say that. You know, they always tell me. You know, of course, Buddy Rich is you know, one of everybody's favorites. I always Ed Chaudency from the Johnny Carson show. People now are realizing what a great drummer that guy was.
Yeah. Steve and I played the Tonight Show a couple times with a different band. And met Shaughnessy, and I played his drums. He came over and played mine. And, yeah, he's a great guy, great player, and just, I mean, he was so much. Because I grew up watching, I mean, who didn't grow up watching Johnny Carson?
Right.
And Shaughnessy, those guys, that band was on there forever. And I watched him every night, and just I thought he was a great player. And just to finally get to hang with him a little bit, play his drums, it was great.
And let's see, I was looking up something on the internet real quick. What's his name? Krupa? Gene Krupa. That's another one that a lot of people mention. Gene Krupa, that they like to collaborate with. Yeah, I love the big band sound. I love the big band sound. I was a big Sinatra fan. And I saw Sinatra perform like 4 or 5 times. I saw him in Vegas. I was on the front row center. I tipped him $100 back when the Mafia was still there. I saw him in Atlantic City. And
wow.
What a band behind Sinatra. Oh, my God. To see those guys live, you know, it's one of the most incredible experiences I've ever had watching in a concert. Those guys are incredible.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I bet.
How about you, Steve?
Well, I kind of like the singer-songwriter type guys like Ricky Nelson and
mm-hmm.
Elvis. You know, I think that would have been really interesting and fun to hang out with guys like that. Everly Brothers.
Oh, they were fantastic.
Being able to contribute my bass chops to some of their type songs, that'd be fun.
Are you a fan of, did you like the Wrecking Crew and all their work and what they did for...
Oh, yeah. Are you kidding me? Yeah. Carol Kay. Yeah, she's
Carol
a big,
Kay, yeah.
I'm a big fan of hers. And I downloaded a bunch of Mamas and Papas because I found out that they were the Wrecking Crew that did their songs.
Wow.
And then Simon and Garfunkel, they used the Wrecking Crew for some of their songs.
And the Beach Boys. Yeah.
Beach Boys, Sonny and Cher.
Mm-hmm.
And, you just go, wow, that's it right there. The Hal Blaine, you know.
Hal Blaine, mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I think Campbell. Glenn Campbell was a guitar player in a lot of those sessions too.
Yeah,
great.
I watched a video Alice Cooper did recently talking about Glenn Campbell because he was a friend of his. They used to go play golf together and everything. You know?
Huh.
Yep.
I've never golfed.
You never golfed, huh?
I've never golfed.
Putt putt.
Putt putt. I've done the putt putt.
I can see you and Mike in a putt putt place. So what's next for you guys? I mean, you got the tour. You got. I'm sure you're going to be adding more dates, right? You got to hit the south. You got to hit the south. Don't forget us.
Yeah, well, yesterday I spent all day, you know, arranging, you know, going through the books and figuring out how much everybody's getting paid this week and all that kind of stuff. And,
right.
You know, and gigs are coming in, you know, as we speak. So.
Well, if you need a place to play in this area, like Tampa, Clearwater, I've got a good venue for you. So,
okay, well, I love it.
Yeah, I know the guy that promotes all the shows there. And I set up Corky Lang there. He did the he brought in, you know, he's doing all the mountain music now, and they had Ginger Baker's son was the backup band. So They did, yeah, it's used to be called the Largo Cultural Center, but now it's called something else, but Rob Mandora is the promoter there, and yeah, I can get you in there. It's a good venue, you know, perfect venue. I was there with Ronnie Montrose. He played there during his last leg of his tour before he passed away. Him and Lisa, his wife, and the Zombies played there. So that's, you know, it's a good venue for you guys, and you'll definitely
right.
Sell
yeah,
out.
That would be great.
Yeah, so just let me know if you guys are headed down to Florida, and I can arrange things for you. I'll set you up with Rob.
Oh, thanks, Ray.
Yep. Got to help you guys out as much as I can, man. I'll keep rock and roll alive, you know?
Yeah.
Well, that's just it about our band. I mean, we're a guitar, drums and bass, you know, with vocalists, a bass band. And a lot of bands nowadays don't have that out front guitar like they had it in the 70s as much, you know, so.
Oh, you don't hear the proficient guitar players anymore, you know. You can't say, you know, there's Jimmy Page or, you know, Robin Trower, you know, Roger Fisher, you know.
Howard Leese, yeah, so.
Howard Leese, yeah, I always forget about Howard, I always mention Roger, but, yeah, you don't hear that anymore, especially mainstream radio has gone to hell, you know. I was a disc jockey back in the late 70s, too. I was a top 40 guy, and, yeah, I just hate radio. You know, satellite radio is the only thing out there, really. But, you know, it's the mainstream radio. That's the only way I think good music will return, or you can save rock and roll. Because, you know, still a lot of people listen to free radio.
Yeah.
So it's just a shame.
Well, and a lot of young people that come see our show, they appreciate the when we do the guitar harmonies and Randy and Lizzie step out front and really show how two guitar players can play together and really make it blend and rock, you know?
Yeah, exactly. You know, I always remember you guys. I remember Leonard Skinner doing the dual guitar thing, and even Black Oak Arkansas back in the day. I talked to Jim Dandy. He's a cool guy. Black Oak Arkansas, they're still around.
Oh, yeah.
Now. Yeah. Who are some of the guys that you hung out with that you really enjoy touring with?
Man, we toured in the early days. We toured with everybody, and I mean, they put us together with. It went from we did shows with AC/DC and Ted Nugent, and we played with BTO and the Bee Gees. I mean, everybody, all kinds of.
You guys played with the Bee Gees? I didn't know that.
Yeah,
we did a tour in Canada with the Bee Gees.
Oh, wow, I didn't know that at all. What year was
that?
76, maybe?
77? Yeah, 76, yeah, the early 76, yeah.
76, so they were Saturday Night Fever, I guess. Before it.
Just before it.
Yeah, they really moved direction, you know, from being a top 40 band to, I mean, what they did was smart, I guess, you know, because they made money during the disco era, probably more money than they did in the pop era.
I know, they really changed with the times, but they kind of, you know, made the times change too, you know, so they were good.
Yeah, I admire those guys that made it through the disco era. I mean, I wasn't huge on disco or anything. You know, I'm a rocker from way back, but the guys that, you know, kind of changed gears and some guys had to. Like I talked to Dennis LaCourriere from Dr. Hook, another good guy, and they were going bankrupt, you know, and that they had to do something to make music and sell their music, and that's why, you know, spending the night together, and they kind of went disco-ish back in that time. They had no choice because they weren't making any money.
We did Straight On. I mean, that
yes,
was
you
our,
did.
That was our touching our toes in the water of disco, I guess.
As a matter of fact, when I was in broadcasting school, Straight On was huge, and we used to play that in our, you know, pretend studios at school all the time. That was on our playlist, which is pretty cool.
Well, Heart by Heart plays it.
Yeah. Yep. So tell me a little bit about the playlist. Do you guys change the playlist a lot, or for different shows, or do you keep it pretty steady, or how's that go?
Well, we try to, if we're playing a theater, we'll do more of the mellower stuff because everybody's sitting down, and usually they have a good sound system so we can take advantage of how pretty the songs are. But when we play an outdoor, you know, festival or fair, we try to keep the up-tempo stuff going.
Right. How does Ann and Nancy think about your band? Have they made a comment or anything? There goes that laugh again.
I haven't heard a comment.
Nothing yet, huh?
Well, they're doing a different thing. I mean, I think Ann and Nancy are among the best that there are.
Right.
Really, but they've been playing hard stuff since Steve and I left, and a lot of what they do, I think, I've not seen them. I've seen a little bit of what they do on some TV stuff, but I've never gone and seen them. And but I've heard, and I know just hearing a few things that they've morphed a lot of the songs into slightly different versions. They'll change the tempos. They'll do different intros. They changed up a lot of the elements to the songs, and that's fine. I mean, that's their heritage. But what I think we're trying to do is we're trying to be true to the
right.
to the songs. And I when I go see a band, I don't want them to mess with the arrangement. It's one thing
exactly.
I like about Elton John, yep. then he does, except for changing the key because he can't sing as high as he used to. The arrangements, the fills that the drummer plays, the guitar lines, all of it is pretty darn close to the original.
Mm-hmm.
And you go out of seeing a show like that, you feel much more satisfied. I do, anyway. And so that's what we try to do. We're trying to be true to the songs, and we change things up slightly just to kind of, you know, keep things fresh and it individually, and but the big chunks are there, and so you want to deliver that thing so you get that feeling that feels right, you know. That's I think that's where we're different anyway between us and Nancy.
I agree with you 100%. You know, I'm a Zeppelin fan, but to see them live sometimes, they just drive me crazy. Because they go off, they, you know, just play the freaking song, you know. Then you hear Plant going, oh, oh, over and over again, and they stretch it out into nothing, you know, which is really stupid. That's why Song Remains the Same is a horrible, you know, movie. You know, it really is. Because I saw Zeppelin a few times, and, you know, if they just play the songs and move on instead of doing all that other crap,
yeah,
it just bothers
me.
I know
exactly what you mean. And they're probably about as good at doing that as anybody can be, yet it's still tedious.
Yep.
So, I don't prefer seeing a band do that kind of stuff. I think if you can... If you're so amazing that you can enhance what you did in the studio, well, okay, yeah, I mean, do it, but don't overdo it so you lose the kind of the context of the of what the song, because it has a certain shape and form and everything, and you gotta.
Yep.
It's where it is because of the being familiar to people, and that's the thing that's going to make them feel contented with hearing it. I mean, otherwise, there's something weird and unsettling about hearing a bunch of stuff change. You can't play dashboard drums to a song where the tempo is all messed up.
Right, you know? Right.
So,
exactly.
Anyway.
That's why the 60s were so awesome, you know, that they played the song. They're short and sweet, you know, like the Beatles, you know, live, you know, that's what they did. They never went off, you know, in tangents, you know, and they just played the song. And a lot of bands did that in the 60s. You know who was awesome in concert? Because I was mentioning the Largo Cultural Center. I covered the Zombies. Oh, my God, they're still awesome, you know.
Huh. I'd love to see them.
Oh, they're incredible. They play everything just like they did back in the 60s. They don't go off in tangents. They play the music, and they still sound great. You know, and Rod Argent, man, he's one of my favorites. He's such a great keyboard player. They're nice guys, real nice guys, too. If you ever get a chance to see the Zombies, you got to see them. They're still good.
Well, they're nominated this year for the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
Yeah, I hope they make it. I hope they do make it. And the Moody Blues, you know, that's another band that deserves to be in there.
Mm-hmm.
Great band. Do you guys have children and any musicians that are children, grandchildren or anything like that?
My son plays the drums in the high school band.
Oh, cool.
But he's not hooked by it. He likes it. I think he likes just being around the kids that are in the band. He doesn't practice, and when I was his age, I was playing all the time.
Right.
And he's pretty good at it for not doing it much.
Does he have a drum set at home that he practices on, or no?
No. I told him, I mean, whatever you need, if you're into it, but I don't think he ever, it kind of bugs me that he can do what he does and hardly ever plays.
Yeah,
I play all the time, and I still struggle with stuff. So I don't know how he does it.
You know, my son played in the high school band too, and then I got him a drum set, and he was an incredible drummer. You know, and what I notice about drummers, not everybody can play drums. It's something in you, you know. It really is. It's hard to learn how to play drums, I think. It's got to be something kind of built in you, some kind of rhythm or something. Because I noticed some kids just pick it up real quick, and some just, you know, they just can't do it. Do you think that's true?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, there's all, you see the blend of talent and desire and all that stuff. And I taught for a while, and you see that with different people, that they have a certain skill level and they have a knack for it, but they don't have a passion for it. It's kind of what you're talking about, I think. They're they can do it, but they just they kind of are passive about it. Other people just love the heck out of it,
right?
And they struggle with it, or they just work at it, and they still can't quite find. Whatever. I mean, they can't. They don't have the hands for it or creative part of it. But they just really enjoy it, and it's funny how that works.
I play some guitar, and I used to jam with my son. You know, because he really kept a good beat. You know, he was really good at it. But then one day he just kind of dropped it. You know, which I was a little disappointed with. You know.
Yeah.
It's a shame when you have, you know, certain skill, and you just don't keep up with it.
Yeah, I think they've discovered that musical aptitude is a gene, and either you have it or you don't.
I do believe that. Yeah, I mean, it's amazing. Yeah, you look at the Beatles' children. that tells you right there. I mean, they're all musicians. They could start up a new band if they wanted to. You know, I talked to Julian Lennon. Julian Lennon was awesome, man. He was incredible. He should have gotten a lot more, you know, press than he really did. In his last album, you know, he had Steven Tyler on the album with him. It was a great album, but, you know, of course, mainstream radio is not going to play it.
Yeah.
It's a shame, but I believe it is in the genes. I think you're right about that. You guys have anything else you want to talk about or promote? Got the big tour coming up. Definitely going to put out a new album or else.
Yeah. Yeah, well, we'll answer to you, Ray, thanks.
That's right. I'm your new manager now. I want to see that album. Get in the studio.
All right.
I'm looking forward to some coming down there and having some food.
Yeah.
I haven't had a lot of the food that part of the country. Go down and get into some of the stuff that you guys have down there.
You like seafood?
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. We got great seafood down here. Of course, our most famous.
I ate a raw oyster was in Florida.
Yeah?
Oyster shooters? Yeah.
Yeah, we make good crab sandwiches. Not crab sandwiches. Is it crab? I forgot now. All kinds of, you know, fish sandwiches and crab sandwiches. And, you know, and we're not as good as Maryland when it comes to crab cakes, but. We're pretty darn good anyway.
Yeah, we just came back. We were just in Maryland last week, and we had crab cakes.
Yeah, I'm originally, I was brought up in Baltimore, and then we moved to the D.C. area, and actually worked at the Capitol Center where you guys performed. That was one of my first jobs over there when I was 16 years old because I wanted to hang out backstage and meet all the bands, which I did. I hung out with Leonard Skinner when they came out there, which is pretty cool. The original band.
Cool.
So, yeah. Yeah, you guys were
ate it.
Maryland.
Do you remember Jimmy's Seafood in Dundalk?
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Yeah, that's where we had our crab cakes.
Yeah.
Week.
They use what is it called, the seasoning? Old Bay. Old Bay seasoning. That's huge in Maryland. Best crab cakes in the world. Yep.
Yeah, that's what they say, yeah.
Yeah. Well, Steve, Mike, I want to thank you so much, man, for being on the show today. You guys are awesome. Looking forward to the Heart by Heart tour. You guys will come to Florida. Looking forward to a new album.
Yeah.
I'm going to push this. I'm going to text you guys or whatever.
Hey, thank you, Ray. I appreciate it. Appreciate it.
And don't forget to include the southern states, because I know you guys love Florida, and we want to see you. And
yes.
If I can help you guys in any way with a venue in our area, just, you know, let me know. And
okay.
Will do.
Thanks again, guys. You guys
are doing
great.
Thanks, Ray.
All right, man. Take care.
All right. See you
All
soon.
Right. Thanks.
All right. Bye-bye. Bye. Heart by Heart, on tour now. For more information about Heart by Heart, you can visit www.heartbyheart.com. Lots of great shows coming up. We're hoping for some southern dates, and hopefully that'll be happening very, very soon. Don't forget to purchase a copy of my book entitled Check the G's, The True Story of an Eclectic American Family and Their Wacky Family Business, for the second edition entitled Wacky Shenanigans on F Street. Proud to be politically incorrect in Washington, D.C. Available now at Amazon.com. You'll live it, I promise you. Very special thanks to Denise Kovalchuk, and I'm hoping I pronounced Denise's name right. She's the CEO of DMK Publicity, for this interview, this wonderful interview with Steve Fawson and Mike Drozier. And, to, of course, the great team of Doug and Don Newsom with BBS Radio for making it all happen every show. Join me bi-weekly at our new time and date, bi-weekly Wednesdays at 5 p.m. Pacific, 8 p.m. Eastern on The Ray Shasho Show. If you have comments or suggestions or would like to be a guest on The Ray Shasho Show, email us now at ray@publicityworksagency.com. And have a great week, everybody.
Thank you, everybody, for listening to The Ray Shasho Show, brought to you by the Publicity Works Agency. Call 941-877-8255. 1-800-332-1552 or visit us at publicityworksagency.com, specializing in author and music artist publicity plans. We shine when we make you shine. Join Ray Shasho every Monday at 3 p.m. Pacific, 6 p.m. Eastern on PBS Radio, Station 1.